Welcome to the WDW Review. I am your host, Michael Black. I have joining me the infamous Magical Mara, Tamara Spidell. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Thanks. It's so good to be back.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I just wanted to have kind of a discussion, and we're recording this on the same day that Chris and Pete did their breakfast live show in Epcot.
Yes.
Sometimes our schedules just don't mesh to where we can all record at the same time. So I thought I would have you on to talk about a few things. But before we do that, tell me how the beginning of the school year has gone so far. Has it been better than you thought it would be? Or is it, I know it's challenging and I know it's stressful. Fill us all in on kind of how it's gone so far.
Yeah. Well, I think it has evolved into a good thing. I will say I worked most of the summer to prepare for how to start school in the times of COVID and a pandemic. And that has been the most stressful summer planning of an opening of school I can remember. And you can only imagine the amount of protocols for cleaning and health and safety that we've had to implement. And it's just, oh my gosh, summer was the worst. But leading up until finally the children actually showed up and came through the doors of the schoolhouse, like once that happened, like just seeing the kids, I'm like, oh yes, this is why I come to work. Like it was amazing. And I have to say our kids have done a stupendous job of doing the best they can to follow all of the guidelines and protocols. And, you know, they're wearing masks and they're washing their hands and they're following the one way only arrows on the floor better than any adult I have seen at the grocery store do it. So I think it's been pleasantly surprising how well the kids have adapted to it. You know, that just goes to show how resilient children are. And it's been great. Like ever since they came back into the building, like I could kind of breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. And it was nice to see like, okay, all this planning and stress, like it actually worked out. And, you know, so we're just keeping our fingers crossed and praying that we don't have any outbreaks in my school. Because we've had a few schools in the district who have had positive cases and have had to send grade levels or individual classes out to quarantine for 14 days. And so far, knock on wood, we're good to go at my school.
That's good. Yeah, that is always like the fear. I know here, Christina started back and Jordan's in virtual school. So he stays at home all the time. But Cameron had gone back to public school 2 weeks before everything shut down in the beginning of the year. So, but he is starting online this year as well. And everything seems to be, knock on wood, going well at Christina's school. Cameron's teacher is amazing. He has a teacher that has only online kids. Now, Christina has a camera in her classroom, and so do the rest of the teachers, and they teach to both. They teach to the kids in the classroom, and then they also teach to the students at home.
That sounds crazy.
It does. And I don't know how she does it, but she's adapting like everybody else has. And she just, the great thing about Christina is I don't do well with change, but she's more able to adapt to change. And she's one of those people that won't let something beat her.
Good for her.
So she has just been working tirelessly. And she's like, I really hope that as the school year goes on, this gets easier. She said, it's like this every beginning of the school year to where you're putting lesson plans together and getting everything into swing. This year's been kind of different and she's just adapting and going through it. I'm really proud of her and I'm proud of all of you. I'm proud of all the educators out there who are, you're so essential. Kids have to go back to school in order for the economy to work. Right.
Yeah.
And then you get bombarded with taking things away, not giving funding, not giving. I saw where they're not even going to give PPE anymore to schools because it's just not necessary. And all this stuff is kind of a conflicting story, but you all have dealt with that. I mean, that's the education system in this country. So, I mean, we'll just move on from there, but it's the way it is. It's so important, yet we don't put our money where our
Do not get me started on the lack of funding for public education. I could go off for days about that.
We could probably have a whole show or two on that. But I will share that we'll kind of go off of that. But I'll share that today is Jordan's birthday as we record this.
Oh, happy birthday, Jordan.
Yes. And Jordan's older, so Cameron's pretty much gotten, he gets the big birthdays now. But Jordan, all of his life, Christina's always wanted him to have these great birthdays. So whether it's been her making special cakes or planning huge parties and everything else. And recently, he's wanted to go to Universal. That's been kind of his thing. We had a Cabana Bay stay a few years and just different things like that. And we had planned to do Cabana Bay, and it sold out this weekend.
Aww.
And so then we just happened to see the Endless Summer Resort had a room for tonight.
Is that one of the new ones?
It is.
Oh, cool.
So we've never stayed there. We're very excited to go check it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, see what's going on and put something together on Theme Park Brothers, maybe. But it's going to be an exciting, all he wanted was to go to Cabana Bay Resort and get a cheeseburger from there. So that's what we'll do. It is Labor Day weekend, so we're not sure if we'll even get into the park. There's been some capacity issues there in Disney this weekend.
Oh.
But we're excited for that. And we're just going to kind of go with the flow because we haven't been back to Universal since the pandemic, since they opened back up.
Mm.
So we're interesting to see the procedures, see how it goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, no expectations. But before that, we actually booked a stay for his birthday gift in October for Cabana Bay.
We're okay. Like,
well, we'll just let him know that we're going to stay in October when the grandparents come down to visit, that we're going to stay a night there. And that kind of gets us into our topic, because that day that we're staying, you will actually be leaving Orlando.
Yes.
After your Universal vacation, your first Universal vacation, right?
Yep. I've never been there.
What we want to do here is this is part of an annual trip that you take, correct?
Yep.
All right. Explain to us this trip, who goes and when you started.
Well, so it started differently than where we are now, but now it's a girls' trip. Although next year it's going to be a bigger deal because of Disney's 50th anniversary and whatever. But for the past handful of years, it's been my mom, my daughter, my sister, and myself who partake in this annual girls trip in October. But before that, I mean, I've always loved Walt Disney World, but I hadn't been for a very long time. And my husband's parents bought us a vacation to Disney World. And that was when Sarah was 10. So this was like almost 7 years ago. I think she regrets that she ever did that, because that reignited my like obsession and crazy passion about Disney World. And so back when Sarah was 10, we took a family trip, just the three of us, my husband and my daughter and myself. And I pretty much broke Brett, my husband, because I'm insane, and we rope dropped to closed every day. And because I wanted to stay longer, we stayed at like an all-star resort, which, I mean, they're totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think had we stayed at a moderate even, I think Brett would have enjoyed it a little bit better. he has a little sour taste in his mouth when it comes to Walt Disney World, but he's coming around. He's coming around. So it's evolved over time of him being like, you know, I don't need you to run me. Like, we did it 2 years in a row as a family of three. And the next, you know, we were planning the third one. Brett's like, you know, I am totally okay with you just going with your mom and your sister. I'll just stay home and rest. So then it evolved into just a girls' trip.
You know, it's interesting how things like that kind of evolve. My parents took us on our first Disney vacation as a family, and that sparked it as well.
Yeah.
It was like, oh boy. I mean, what has come of that since 2006, I believe it was. Jordan wasn't quite three yet. So yeah, it was that same sort of thing to where they took us and we stayed at All-Star Sports for our first trip to Disney ever as a family. So it kind of sparked that as well. But I can understand poor Brett. It's like, I just want to relax on vacation, not run
Yeah,
around all the time. I understand.
exactly. Yeah.
So it's always been Disney every
Yeah.
year. And this year you had a Disney trip planned, correct?
Yes, we did. We
And
did.
yeah, explain kind of what happened there.
Well, so we actually had a couple Disney trips planned. So, Brett and I were going to go in June with another couple and who is my great friend, and they're also both principals. And we were going to attend the Disney Institute training. And then, COVID happened. And so we kept waiting and waiting to see if it was it was like the end of June, and it ended up getting canceled, obviously. So that was the first one that got canceled. And then while I know it's not Disney, we had a cruise in March that was supposed to be for Sarah's 16th birthday. And literally 2 hours before we were to leave for the airport in March, that was the day that they shut all the cruise lines down. So we rescheduled that cruise for July, and then that one got canceled. So like we're feeling really bitter about not having a great vacation in yet. So then yes, we had our fall break. Our October trip was planned. We were supposed to stay at Coronado Springs, and I had an annual pass. We have since canceled it, which really broke my heart. But the day, like, we were still planning on going to Disney World, and then they introduced the park reservation system, and I think I was on the phone or on the computer for like 2 days straight trying. We could only get one park reservation, like one day. And there was some funky glitch because I have an annual pass, but we also had like a package booked with tickets for my mom and my daughter and myself. And Disney was like, yeah, it's a glitch. Like they were totally aware that it was a glitch, but I just was so disheartened by the lack of customer service that I received, as I'm like, I'm a pass holder. I mean, I love Disney World, and I was, working so hard to just like give them the benefit of the doubt. Like nobody's ever done anything like this before, and we've never experienced a pandemic like this in our lifetime. So like, but it just got to the point where I just was like, I can't take this anymore. So we ended up canceling our trip, and I think I was depressed for like a good week. And I'm not like, I was down in the dumps. I cried. It was awful. And then my mom and I were talking because it's her, I won't say how old because she will kill me, but she's got a big milestone birthday. Her birthday's October 12th. And we were talking, and I was like, well, maybe like, what if we tried a Universal vacation? Because I've always wanted to go, but Disney World takes a lot of time with four different parks. And so because we only have a week, we just didn't want to like, we didn't want to waste any Disney time and go to Universal. And plus it's really expensive if you're not stay. I mean, staying on property with Universal, you get some perks that if you just went over for a day from Disney, like it was too expensive. So we never considered it. So, we talked, and she was like, I still want to go on a vacation. Like she was super depressed because she was supposed to go on the cruise with us too. And she's like, we need this vacation. So we decided that we would book this trip to Universal. And I will say, it's just the two of us going. My daughter is not coming this time.
Oh, she's not. I did not know that.
Yeah. So some people might throw some hate my way for this, but during the lockdown situation of this pandemic, because she was like so sad, my 16th birthday was ruined, the cruise was the worst birthday ever. She begged and begged and begged Brett and I for a dog. And so we got a pandemic puppy, like a whole bunch of other people did. And Brett was basically like, look, if you really want a dog, you need to understand it's your dog, and I do not want to be stuck here at home in October on my fall break taking care of your dog. So if you really want a dog, like, and this was before we even canceled the Disney trip. So at the time, it was still Walt Disney. And he was like, so, I mean, do you want a dog bad enough that you'll skip out on a trip in October? And she was like, yes. yes, I want a dog. Please, 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 please. So she made the commitment to get this dog.
All right.
She gave up the trip. And I don't think she expected me to follow through on it, but that is the kind of parent I am. I follow through. So it's just my mom and I.
All right. Well, that's good. And, you know, there's been, before we get started and kind of talk about the trip and things like that, I share with us some good memories. Could you think of like two great memories from the trips that you've had thus far that we can kind of, because I don't want to, here's the thing. Disney right now is dealing with the pandemic like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you have talked off the air before and said, you know, even though there might be a little break from Disney, we've also canceled our passes because things are just too complicated right now.
Yeah.
It's not a lack from wanting to go. It's not a lack from not missing it because, ooh, I miss it. I was watching videos yesterday of Cameron as a little one kind of waddling on Main Street. And it just, it breaks you sometimes because, and I was going through a bunch of concerts too, like concerts at Epcot and different things. I'm like, man, I just miss it. And, so let's focus on what are two memories you can remember from these October trips and specifically,
I think I've shared this one before, either in the Edcot Facebook group or even on a podcast, but the best one was during Sarah's very first trip there. And it was the first day we got there, and the first park we went to was Hollywood Studios. And, you know, this was like a fair while ago. So there wasn't a super, it was when the Sorcerer hat was still there in front of the Chinese theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we were walking, we had just gotten off of Tower of Terror and we were walking towards Rock and Roller Coaster. And she looks at me and she goes, Mom, I mean, I knew that Disney World was going to be great, but I didn't realize it was going to be this amazing. And I was like, I was like, yes, she is my people. she's got it. But, and it was just like one of those things like, oh, honey, you haven't seen anything yet. You know, that was just Hollywood Studios, and it was probably just within like the first couple of hours of being on Disney property. And that just, oh, that still just gives me goosebumps to think about that. And I think, God, there are lots of great memories. I know
it's hard to pinpoint. I understand.
I mean, I remember running into you and Christina, like for the first time we ever met in person, like at Pop Century, just like accidentally, we happened to be staying there at the same time. And, just seeing, it's always, you know, the people that we're with and the people that we meet up with. And, but I think it's also like, I experienced Disney World differently with Brett when we went, a couple summers ago for, it was another Disney Institute trip, and he flew out and met me there for the last few days of it because he doesn't want a whole week of it. But it was just really cool to experience the park with that. I mean, I love bringing my daughter, but it was kind of neat to be there just with my husband and just kind of like, you know, just experience it as just adults and, it was like the best date days, that we've had. So those would be a couple.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? It's, we can remember these memories fondly.
Yeah.
And then we know that there will be more of the experiences in the future. But the great thing is by this year, kind of this all happening, it's going to give you a chance to experience Universal.
Yeah.
And I think that for us, we used to, and I've said this many times on the show, that back, I would say between probably until about 2010, maybe even until we moved to Florida, 2011, we had not been to Universal. And we were the type of people that were like, no, Disney's Disney. And no one's going to be able to add up to that.
Yeah.
We kind of equated Universal to Kings Island, or Six Flags or just whatever.
Amusement park. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had been to Universal with my parents for one day back in the 90s. So I didn't really have anything to gauge it on. But what we realized was we were theme park lovers. We loved Disney because we loved the escape and the fun that the theme parks gave us. Now, Universal only enhanced that. It only gave us more to love. And same with SeaWorld, same with Busch Gardens. They all have their own thing. And we don't even rate them anymore. They're just different experiences. And some days we would prefer to go to Universal. Some days we prefer to go to Disney. And it's kind of like that feeling to where some days it's a Magic Kingdom day. Some days it's an Epcot day.
Yeah.
You know, you're still in the Disney bubble, but you're making a decision based on what you want to do.
Yep.
So with Universal, let's go ahead and talk about, I know there were some switches and some changes and this pandemic has really thrown everybody for a loop, but I know you have somebody on. So let's talk about that. Where did you start and where have you ended up right now?
Yeah. So thank God for Amy Vanswell. She's amazing. And she and I've had lots of conversations because initially, so we've had a reservation at every of the premiere, I think that's what they call them. Like, it's not deluxe. That's a Disney thing. But we've held a reservation at each of the premier resorts in Universal for this trip because they keep changing things on us. Initially, we had one at Portofino Bay because my mom, it's her birthday. So I'm like, okay, which of the hotels do you want to stay at? And we knew we wanted to do a premiere because it includes the free, whatever, the unlimited
express pass.
Yeah. And so we had a reservation there. But when Universal opened back up again, Portofino Bay had not reopened, you know, and so we kind of were like, oh, well, I'm sure it'll be open by the time October rolls around. No, it's not going to open. So Amy calls me and she was like, and you know, when you get a text from your travel agent that says, hey, can you call me? I'm like, oh no. Like I don't know. I was like, oh God, the trip is done. You know? So she called and she's like, well, the bad news is they're not going to reopen Portofino Bay for your trip. So I have you booked instead at the Hard Rock Hotel. And I was like, okay. I mean, from the limited research that I had done, I'm like, I feel like that one's even like the closest maybe. So it'll be the shortest walk to the park. Like I was trying to find the good in it because to be quite honest, Hard Rock would have been, out of the three premier hotels, Hard Rock was not my first or second choice. So,
I would have gone there in a heartbeat.
I think Brett would have loved it too, but he's not coming.
So neither am I.
So. Neither are you. You are not invited on this girls trip. I'm so sorry. But, but then, and we had like club level booked at Portofino too, because my mom wanted to be super fancy for her birthday. So whatever my mom wants, she gets. And then that's not just for her birthday either. That's just the kind of gal she is. And then I don't know how long we held the Hard Rock reservation. And then Amy, I think she texted me again, like maybe a week or so ago. And she was like, hey, when you have a chance, let's chat. And I'm like, oh my God, no, what is happening now? But I was delighted when she was like, she probably told me, I don't remember why, but Hard Rock didn't work out. And so I think it was like right after they made that announcement of like all these other hotels that I believe there may have been a hotel or two that is currently open, but they're going to close it. Mm-hmm. And, so I think they were shuffling people around. And so she's like, okay, so now you're staying at Royal Pacific, which side note would have been my first choice just because of the theming. And, so we're staying at Royal Pacific Resort. That was a really long story to tell you where we're going to stay.
No, I mean, that's important because that's the type of things that we're facing right now. You know, if we want to go on these vacations, we have to understand that, you know, even today, when we go over to stay at Universal, there's unknowns. We don't know. And that's today. Yeah. So it's one of those things where we just have to kind of be flexible and go with the flow. But the thing about it too is you probably got to learn about all three of the different premier hotels because you've researched you were going to stay at all of them.
That is true.
So there's never anything wrong with that. And Royal Pacific is a great hotel. I think what they've done is they've said that Sapphire Falls and Aventura are not going to open I think they've still got Cabana Bay, the Endless Summer Resorts, Royal Pacific, and Hard Rock. So that may have been when they announced Sapphire Falls and Aventura that there may have been some shuffling going on, which is interesting to me. Now, I've stayed at Aventura and it's one of their newer resorts. So you would think it being a newer resort, it's very modern, it's very electronic. So you control things with the iPad and it's the lights and the TV, it's all controlled by the iPad. So I'm thinking that would probably be the easiest to sanitize. It's like the most sterile hotel I've ever been in my
I see
life.
what you're saying.
Yeah, since it's so modern and so electronic, it's just sterile. So I assume that that one would stay open, but I don't, they have their reasons. They know more than I. So, and they have a robot there that brings you stuff. I mean, that's not even,
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
yeah, that's not even contact. It's a robot bringing you things. So you're at Royal Pacific now. You said you were club level at Portofino. Now, did they give you something back? Did things get changed?
So we didn't, they, I don't know if they don't have it or if they just didn't have it available like at Royal Pacific, but we actually ended up, that was, there was a lot more of like, so we've changed a reservation for the third time. We also got some, we got like 4 days of the Universal Dining Plan, that is now something we have that we didn't before. We have like a credit to use at dining at the hotel that we're staying at now, and then we also got some money back. So it worked out great. Like I feel like we're still going to have this amazing experience. We, in my mind, we're still getting more than we would have before because I think club level right now, while I don't know how that is working, but my hunch is that the offerings are a little bit different because of, sanitization and just keeping proper cleanliness of things. So I'm okay. Actually, I think I'd rather use the dining plan because I'd rather spend my time eating at, some of the cool places in the parks than back at the resort and having to come back to club level. So I am totally excited about that opportunity. So that's kind of cool because we weren't anticipating having that to begin with. So that's like a nice little bonus.
Absolutely. And you're right. We stayed when we went to Key West, we had, there was a continental breakfast at our hotel, and the continental breakfast was basically a table and an attendant behind it who would grab you muffins or a bagel and toast it for you if you wanted it. Like it was not what we would, were used to when
And
it
I
came to
appreciate
that.
that. I think that's important. I definitely want nothing to do with any kind of traditional buffet for a very long time.
Absolutely. Yeah, things are so different. So let's talk about some of the things that you're super excited for. What are some of the things that you like? I can't wait to see
Oh my
these
gosh.
particular attractions or restaurants, or what do you think?
I cannot wait to go experience Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley because I love Harry Potter, which is why everybody who knows me is like shocked when they find out this is my first time to Universal because they're like, "You love Harry Potter? How can this be?" Like, I know, but I love Disney World a little bit more. So I am so excited to go see that and to ride all the rides. I'm excited to experience the different types of rides because I love thrill rides, and my understanding is Universal is a thrill ride person's place to be. So I'm just excited to experience all those different rides. I'm excited to, I don't know how I'm going to feel after I ride it, but like Rip Ride Rocket looks crazy to me, and I can't wait to try that. And
It does look intense. I heard it whips you around a little bit.
yeah, I'm pretty sure that is not a ride you would ever try.
No, I have a hard time even watching it.
Yeah, so I think the rides are kind of a big pull for me. City Walk is okay. In truth be told, like it kind of gives me, and I think a Hard Rock Hotel kind of gave me this vibe too. It kind of gives me like a Las Vegas vibe, and You know, Las Vegas is fine, and we actually went for my birthday in February over the President's Day weekend before the world shut down. And you know, we saw shows there, and it was great. But like, just the general vibe of Vegas is just not my cup of tea. So City Walk kind of gives me that vibe, and Hard Rock Hotel kind of did. So, I'm excited to try Voodoo Donuts, which apparently we have one here in Denver, and I've never been there. I'm trying to think, like, I'm excited to eat at the Three Broomsticks and to have butterbeer, and you
Did
know,
you know I worked at the Three Broomsticks?
I did not know that.
Yes, when I worked for Universal, I tested well enough on the Harry Potter test during my interview, which meant that I could work in the Harry Potter region of the park.
I see.
This was back before Diagon Alley, but yeah, you had to pass a test. And the funny thing is, the only one I got wrong, which now looking back on it, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I knew all four houses. I know the headmaster. I know like all this stuff, right? I couldn't remember Hagrid's name to save my life.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the only, and it was just because I was so nervous and like, I was like, oh, I might get to work at the Wizarding World. And anyway. She put me through, but basically, you had to have this knowledge because when you work there, you're a wizard.
I love that.
So you have to know you're not at your stuff, and you can't, you have to play a part. So, I did. I worked there. I basically, when you go, there are, I don't know how it is now because everything's different, but they had people who would basically see. I was kind of a host type thing. So either I'd be outside, you know, showing people the way, or, once you got inside, someone would take you to a seat. So that was my basic job. And then I also worked on the butter beer cart, which ended up being the demise of my relationship with Universal.
Oh, the one that's like outside in the hot sun.
Yes, what they did, and I will just breeze past this, but they left me out there for almost 7 hours. They did not have a umbrella at that time.
Oh, geez.
And our Wizarding World costume wasn't the most cool
I could
costume.
believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, there were other things too. See, the Wizarding World costumes couldn't leave property. So every day you would have to go in to costuming, you would have to go to your locker, you'd have to change, and then you go work your shift, and then you had to come back. You had to change back into your normal clothes and leave. So that was kind of an issue. You
Yeah.
didn't like doing that every day. When I worked for Disney, you could wear your costume home and
Got
wash it and get dressed. So I digress.
it.
The Wizarding World of Harry Potter is probably the most fantastic thing I have ever seen.
I'm so excited.
And it doesn't, and the good thing is, even though you've seen it in YouTube videos and seen it, I don't think it's nothing can compare to when you're standing there.
Yeah. And, you know, and I've heard a lot of people who are of the opinion that, you know, oh, if it's your first time going, and they say this about Disney World or Universal, you know, if it's your first time going, you probably shouldn't go right now because the experiences are so different. But see, I see it very differently. To me, I'm like, I have no expectations going into Universal right now. I've never been there. I mean, yes, I've been watching YouTube videos as much as possible, and you know, reading blogs and reading books and all that stuff. But I've never been there, so I don't really know what it's usually like. And so I think it might even be better to go experience it this way because I don't have any expectations. I'm going to be open to just whatever happens, and I won't be comparing it to, you know, how Universal was pre-pandemic. Whereas going to Disney World, I do think there's probably still a lot of good that comes out of the parks, you know, seeing the lower wait times and things like that. But I think there would always be a little bit of that like comparison of like, oh, this is different because, you know, now they do this instead of how it was before. So I think it's a perfect time to go somewhere new is during a pandemic when you don't know any different.
I think that's fantastic. That's the best way to look at it. And I think when it comes to the Wizarding World, especially because they're very because of the nature of keeping it to scale and realistic, it is very cramped.
Yeah.
Diagon Alley is very small, Hogsmeade, while not as small, it's still really cramped. We have a video on Theme Park Brothers that says, I think it's called A Typical Walk Through Hogsmeade at the Wizarding World. Mm-hmm. And it was when we had a stroller with Cameron, and it was like just fast trying to get through the massive humanity that was in this area. And really all you could see was stuff that was up, because other than that, you're just trying to keep from running into people. And so I think with lower capacities that you will actually be able to see more than.
So I am a little nervous, because I have heard that especially in Diagon Alley, it's tight and narrow. I mean, that I would say there are a few things I'm nervous about. And that's one of them, is just, you know, I appreciate Universal doesn't have a reservation system. I appreciate we can go back and forth, because, you know, we have a, I don't know what they call it, a 2-park ticket or whatever. So I'm excited to ride the Hogwarts Express. But I've seen some videos of recent, I actually saw one, I think it was from Friday or Saturday. It may have actually been of Saturday, of Labor Day weekend. And holy buckets, it was so crowded. I was like, oh God. But, you know, we'll keep our mask on. We'll wash our hands and sanitize our hands like crazy and try to stay away from people as much as possible. But, you know, I think, I don't know, the hours being reduced to, like, some people feel a little bit upset about that. But to me, like, I don't know, I think it's just going to help us, I think, take it easy. And I don't know, we may even get off of Universal property and like go check out something on iDrive, or, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Well, I know you said I'm not invited, but we could always go hit something up.
Well, it's not that we can certainly meet up. You just, you know, you can't stay with us.
Okay. Fair enough.
And so, you know, we'll have to give Pete a hard time, because he's like, maybe I'll meet you at City Walk. But I mean, I also know those Universal tickets just for a one-off are super expensive. So I'm totally not giving him too much flack for not coming to the parks with us. But, you know, I hope to meet up with lots of our Florida friends while we're there.
Absolutely. And yeah, he has gone to City Walk before, so maybe we can convince him to go that direction. And yeah, I don't blame it at all, especially right now. I mean, we had to cancel our Disney ones because they just weren't a value.
Yeah.
So I could imagine, I mean, it would be hard to convince someone to go to a park they've never really had interest in going to and paying those prices right now.
Exactly.
One day, maybe one day we will have a live show with Pete from Universal.
I don't know if that will happen. I almost feel like him being on Frozen might have a better chance of happening than him going to Universal, but we'll see.
Yeah, and maybe me on a roller coaster would probably be easier to have happen. Well, we are going to wrap up here. What are some, you talked about some YouTube videos. What are some resources you've used to research Universal? The same ones you kind of do for Disney, or?
Yeah, some are pretty simple, like touringplans.com. That's always a great one. I have a subscription now for Disney World and Universal. So I've been looking at a lot of their content, obviously watching Theme Park Brother YouTube videos. And, you know, I am consuming all the YouTube videos on all the things. So like people will talk about some show that they're binge watching, and I'm like, I don't watch TV. I just watch YouTube videos about theme parks. So I'm a weirdo. And then we have the unofficial guide to Universal Orlando. And there's like a couple other ones. The titles are escaping me. I have them on my Kindle. And there's like one that's like the Muggle's Guide to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and something else. So, I've lots of research going into this trip.
Absolutely. And of course, you mentioned the fabulous Amy Van Swall, who is your travel agent for this trip. She's with Magical Journeys, and she is fantastic. And she's always going above and beyond for her clients. Yes. So, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tamara. I'm excited to hear how your trip goes. You know, I love Universal. I'll try to give you a little bit more information as I go today.
Yes, please do.
Because I haven't been post-pandemic, well, during pandemic, I don't even know what we are right now. We're still in the middle, in the midst.
We are.
So we'll kind of have a better idea, at least I will today. And if you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you would give us a review, not just you, Tamara. I know you've probably already given us a review. But all the listeners out there, give us a review on your podcast catcher of choice. We would really appreciate it. It helps get us up there so that more people can see the podcast. If you have comments or questions, you can message us at our Facebook page, or better yet, join our Experimental Dubs Community of Tomorrow, or EDCOT, which is our group on Facebook. And Tamara is in the group
all the time. That's my most popular, but that's pretty much the only place I interact on Facebook anymore.
That's kind of the way I am. I have like two groups that I go to, and I just push those so I stay safe. And Amy is there as well, if you'd like to contact her. And there are many other folks that, not just Disney people, but there are Universal folks in there too. Jesse Fouts is big on Universal. And they can give you any advice if you're looking to go that direction, to try out the other park.
Or you can just come and have some fun just talking Disney or any other random silliness.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Sometimes we go so long and there won't even be like a whole lot of Disney. There's like Disney adjacent conversations.
Yeah, I like that.
But it's a great group of people. And even though this episode will only be an audio on the WDW Review Tube, we do have a YouTube channel where we have video episodes, and we're hoping to do some more fun things moving forward. It's just right now, I think we are very close. September 21st, we will then have every past episode of the Dubs audio on the YouTube channel.
Holy cow.
So we've been going since I think February or March, to where each day at 10 a.m. we release a past episode in descending order.
Wow.
So episode one, I think it is September 21st. And the great thing about that is we have different games we play, like the three words game, different things. And that way we can categorize them and have them in playlists. So if you wanted to listen to like all the three words shows in a row, you could. So that's kind of the desire there, as well as bringing more video content to you guys. So, all right, that was very long-winded. But thanks so much, Tamara, for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And for listening, and for my other co-hosts, Chris, Pete, and Stacy, we will catch you on the flippity-flop.
Bye, everybody.